Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Fred Woodward for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from the Week magazine. Today, we're reading from the double issue dated December 29th, 2023, January 5th, 2024. And we are in our second show from the year-end issue of the week called The Faces of 2023. I think I mentioned last week that the publishers do take an extra week off, so this show will run for 2 weeks, and then we'll have a new issue the third week of January. We'll start today with the editor's letter. On December 25th, 1860, as North and South marched closer to conflict, a diarist in Arkansas wrote how Christmas Day had been short on rejoicing. Some of the usual ceremonies are going on, the diarist noted, but there is a gloom on the thoughts and countenance of all the better portion of our people. As an inveterate pessimist, blame my British upbringing, I can't help but detect more than a hint of gloom in the air this holiday season. Unlike that writer, I don't see civil war on the horizon, but I do see a year filled with violent upheaval and uncertainty. With Congress dawdling on providing desperately needed military aid to Kyiv, Russia could advance deeper into Ukraine and potentially threaten Poland and other NATO member states. In the Middle East, Israel's war against Hamas terrorists appears likely to grind on for months, while civilian casualties in Gaza climb higher and anger in the Arab world burns hotter. Here in the U.S., the presidential election could be the ugliest and most consequential in a lifetime, with the likely GOP nominee running on an agenda of revenge and retribution, all the while battling for criminal cases. Yet, looking through this magazine, I'm reminded there are reasons for optimism, and that my expectations of doom are often proved wrong. The U.S. economy has somehow defied widespread predictions of a post-pandemic collapse and now appears headed for a soft landing. The European Union, once a synonym for spinelessness, has opened membership talks with Ukraine, flipping the bird at Vladimir Putin and his insistence that Kyiv belongs in Russia's sphere of influence. Then there are the smaller but no less important stories of courage and kindness, like that of Mahbuba, a young Afghan refugee and the public school teacher who opened up her world. I'll be keeping my eyes on such bursts of hope next year and using them like stars to navigate the gloom. And so we move into the year in review. This is a two-page spread with month-by-month summaries. We'll work through the whole thing. Please bear with me. January. The year begins on a historically dysfunctional note, with the new Republican House majority needing 15 rounds of voting, the most in a century, to name a speaker. To secure the post, Representative Kevin McCarthy makes several risky commitments to right-wing holdouts, pledging to cap spending at 2022 levels and allow any representative to call a vote for his ouster at any moment. President Biden extends the pandemic-era immigration restrictions known as Title 42, which let authorities turn away most asylum seekers at the southern border, but announces a new pathway to legal entry for 30,000 migrants a month. "Do not just show up at the border," Biden implores would-be migrants. California suffers a string of mass shootings in the space of 2 days. A 72-year-old man kills 11 people in a Los Angeles suburb. A 66-year-old farm worker fatally shoots 7 farm employees outside San Francisco. And a gun battle in Oakland leaves 1 dead and 7 wounded. The one common denominator is these damn guns, said California Governor Gavin Newsom. February. A 200-foot-tall Chinese spy balloon is spotted floating high over Montana and captures the nation's attention as it drifts eastward, passing above key U.S. military sites. Beijing insists it's merely a weather balloon blown off course, but Biden orders the aerial intruder shot down when it reaches the South Carolina coast. The first anniversary of the Ukraine war is marked by a grinding stalemate, with Russia throwing waves of poorly trained soldiers, many recruited from prisons, at Ukrainian positions, incurring thousands of casualties. Biden makes a surprise visit to Kyiv, where he pledges another $500 million in military aid for Ukraine. A freight train carrying a cargo of toxic chemicals derails in East Palestine, Ohio, catching fire and sending a plume of black smoke into the air. Residents complain of suffering mysterious rashes, sore throats, nausea, and headaches. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley becomes the first major rival to challenge Trump for the GOP presidential nomination, declaring, "It's time for a new generation of leadership." March. The annual Conservative Political Action Conference resembles a war rally, with Trump telling the gathered Republicans, "I am your retribution." Trump's grip on the party's base looks unbreakable, even after he is indicted by a Manhattan grand jury for a $130,000 hush money payoff allegedly made to a porn star ahead of the 2016 election, making Trump the first ex-president to face criminal charges. Silicon Valley Bank collapses, the second largest bank failure in U.S. history, after panicked depositors withdrew $42 billion in a single day. A shooter armed with an AR-15-style rifle murders three adults and 3 9-year-olds at a Nashville elementary school. Biden's call to ban assault weapons is dead on arrival in the Senate, where Senator John Cornyn, Republican from Texas, says, "We've gone about as far as we can go on gun control." April. Another momentous abortion case appears headed for the Supreme Court after a Trump-appointed judge in Texas orders the Food and Drug Administration to reverse its 23-year-old approval of abortion pill mifepristone, citing safety concerns despite roughly 100 scientific studies to the contrary. The Supreme Court's standing plunges to new lows after conservative Justice Clarence Thomas is revealed to have secretly accepted luxury travel and accommodation worth millions of dollars from conservative mega donor Harlan Crow. Fox News agrees to pay a $787 million settlement to Dominion Voting Systems for repeating Trump's false claims that Dominion helped rig the 2020 election. Messages and testimony reveal Fox Chairman Rupert Murdoch and hosts such as Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham knew the claims were bogus. Carlson, accused in a lawsuit filed by a former producer of running a misogynistic workplace, is fired by Fox a week later. Biden announces his reelection bid as polls show more than two-thirds of voters, including half of Democrats, say they don't want him to run again. May. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis enters the race for the GOP presidential nomination, but his campaign launch event on Twitter's audio platform is beset by technical glitches. Trump labels DeSantis' campaign a disaster and maintains his giant lead in GOP primary polls, despite a federal jury finding the former president liable for sexually abusing magazine columnist E. Jean Carroll in the mid-1990s. The federal government's COVID emergency declaration expires, as does Title 42, with tens of thousands of asylum seekers massed at the southern border. Hard-right Republicans are incensed when Speaker McCarthy strikes a deal with Biden to extend the 31 $1.4 trillion debt limit, narrowly avoiding a catastrophic default. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene calls the bipartisan deal a, quote, shit sandwich, as humans express a mix of awe and terror at the rapidly advancing power of artificial intelligence. Hundreds of tech leaders and researchers sign a statement warning of the need to mitigate the risk of extinction from AI. June. Special Counsel Jack Smith indicts Trump on 37 federal felony charges for allegedly hoarding classified documents at his Florida and New Jersey estates, then conspiring to hide them from investigators. If even half of it is true, said Trump's former Attorney General William Barr, then he's toast. Ukraine launches a counteroffensive aimed at severing Russia's land route to occupied Crimea, and Russian President Vladimir Putin faces the greatest threat to his 23-year rule as Wagner boss Yevgeny Prigozhin leads his mercenary fighters in a march on Moscow. The rebels get within 125 miles of the capital before Prigozhin turns them around and goes into exile in Belarus. Reversing decades of precedent, the Supreme Court strikes down affirmative action, barring the consideration of race in college admissions. As it issues the ruling, the High Court is enmeshed in another ethics scandal, this time over revelations that conservative Justice Samuel Alito accepted a luxury trip from GOP donors, one of whom had business before the court. Alito says he had no obligation to disclose his friend's hospitality. July. The planet swelters through the hottest month on record. Phoenix endures a record 31 days at or over 110 degrees, and the waters around the Florida Keys hit a stunning 101 degrees. Smoke from some 900 wildfires burning across Canada blankets the U.S. With Ukraine's counteroffensive making little progress, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky attends a summit of NATO leaders and blasts their weakness for declining to set a timeline for his country's membership in the alliance. In Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu follows through on a pledge to weaken the Supreme Court's oversight authority, despite months of protests by hundreds of thousands of citizens. Representative Taylor Greene brandishes sexually explicit photos of Biden's son, Hunter, at a House hearing on a federal investigation of Hunter's tax affairs. Parental discretion, she says, is advised. Elon Musk changes the name of Twitter, which he bought for $44 billion in 2022, to X, his favorite letter. Barbie attracts crowds of pink-clad moviegoers, taking in more than $1 billion at the global box office. Conservative pundit Ben Shapiro denounces the film as feminist claptrap and sets two Barbie dolls on fire in protest. August. Another month, another Trump indictment. The former president is hit with multiple charges connected to his efforts to overturn the 2020 election, which culminated in an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy on January 6, 2021, says Jack Smith. Trump calls Smith deranged, likens the Biden administration to Nazi Germany, and writes menacingly on social media, "If you go after me, I'm coming after you." Just weeks later, Trump becomes the first president to pose for a mugshot after he and 18 co-defendants are charged in Fulton County, Georgia, with attempting to subvert Biden's 2020 victory in the state. Hunter Biden faces his own legal peril following the collapse of a plea deal that would have spared him prison time on gun and tax charges. As a result, prosecutor David Weiss is named special counsel, allowing for significantly broader probe of Hunter's business affairs. A wildfire rips across drought-hit Maui, killing at least 100 people and destroying the historic Hawaiian town of Lahaina. In Russia, a jet carrying Prigozhin explodes and crashes, killing all 10 people on board. Putin is the ultimate apostle of payback, says CIA Chief William Burns. September. Speaker McCarthy bows to pressure from hard-right Republicans and, despite a lack of evidence, orders an impeachment inquiry into Biden over claims he profited from Hunter's overseas business deals. Weiss indicts Hunter for allegedly lying about his drug use on a 2018 application to buy a handgun. In New York City, Mayor Eric Adams warns that an influx of more than 110,000 migrants over the past year has left the city facing a financial tsunami and pleads for federal help with feeding, housing, and processing the new arrivals. In a Manhattan court, New York Attorney General Letitia James scores a win in her civil fraud lawsuit against Trump, with a judge finding the former president inflated his net worth by up to $3.6 billion to get favorable terms on loans and insurance deals. Taylor Swift takes a break from her $1 billion grossing Eras Stadium tour to visit another football stadium, where she cheers on her new boyfriend, Kansas City Chiefs star Travis Kelce. Swifties send NFL ratings soaring. October. McCarthy strikes a deal with Democrats to pass a temporary spending bill and avert a government shutdown. As punishment, 8 GOP hardliners join with House Democrats to oust McCarthy as Speaker, a first in the chamber's 234-year history. On October 7th, Hamas terrorists storm across the border from Gaza into Israeli communities. They slaughter and rape revelers at a music festival, murder infants in front of their parents, and upload footage of the atrocities to social media. More than 1,200 Israelis are killed and 240 are taken hostage, with the captives ranging from toddlers to a wheelchair-bound Holocaust survivor. Some victims, alive and dead, are paraded for cheering crowds in Gaza. Every Hamas member is a dead man, says Netanyahu, ordering the Israeli military to root Hamas out of Gaza stronghold. Biden visits Tel Aviv in a show of solidarity with Israel. After failed speaker bids from three Republicans, Representative Mike Johnson of Louisiana, a key supporter of Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election, wins the top House job. November. With Israeli troops locked in fierce fighting in Gaza, anti-Semitism surges around the globe. The Anti-Defamation League records a 400% jump in anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S., with many Jewish students reporting harassment on campuses. Advertisers flee X after Elon Musk endorses a post promoting an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. Musk tells the companies that bailed on his platform, which include Disney and Walmart, go F yourself. Once hailed as the next Warren Buffett, FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried is found guilty of stealing $8 billion from the customers of his cryptocurrency exchange. Abortion rights supporters celebrate a string of state election wins, including the overwhelming approval by Ohio voters of a ballot measure establishing the right to reproductive choice in the state constitution. Israel agrees to a ceasefire with Hamas, releasing 240 Palestinian prisoners in exchange for 105 hostages. December. The truce collapses after 7 days, and Israel resumes an offensive that Gaza health authorities say has killed more than 19,000 Palestinians. Congress is deadlocked on supplying desperately needed military aid to Ukraine, with Republicans insisting that funding for the embattled U.S. ally must be paired with sweeping changes to U.S. immigration law. McCarthy announces he will leave the House by the end of the year, joining several dozen colleagues who say they're fed up with the chamber's dysfunction. But in a rare display of unity, the House GOP votes to formalize the Biden impeachment inquiry. Evidence of any wrongdoing by the president is still not apparent. Polls show Haley narrowly overtaking DeSantis in the GOP nomination race, but both lag Trump by more than 40 percentage points. Trump, who is running even or ahead of Biden in polls, shares his autocratic ambitions for a potential White House return, saying he'll only be a dictator on day one. As the year ends, the fate of U.S. democracy, Ukraine's independence, and much else appears to hang in the balance. And that is the year in review, courtesy of the week. The health and science summary is broken into three sections. Some of the things they said were good for us, some of the things we were told to avoid, and the big scientific breakthroughs of 2023. We'll sample some of each. Some of the things they said were good for us. Tai Chi may help stave off dementia. Researchers recruited 300 adults who had reported signs of memory decline. The participants initially scored an average of 25 in the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, just below the normal range of 26 to 30. Usually, adults in that condition lose about a half point a year on the test. But after 6 months, those who had practiced Tai Chi, which involves slow, intentional movements combined with deep breathing, twice a week, improved their score by 1.5 points. Then, those who had done the exercises with additional cognitive challenges improved by about 3 points. "We've just given you 6 extra years of cognitive function," says study author Elizabeth Ekstrom. "That's a lot." Marriage could cut your chance of developing diabetes. Researchers examined the health records of more than 3,300 adults in England, ages 50 to 89, who had regular checks for type 2 diabetes. They also interviewed the participants to determine how content they were in their relationships. Being married was linked to a 0.21% decrease in blood sugar levels, regardless of whether the couple was happy, while getting divorced was linked to a rise. "The salience of this type of relationship," says co-author Catherine Ford, "likely means the loss of it may have implications for health." Pets may reduce your infant's chances of developing a food allergy. After analyzing records of 65,000 children in Japan, researchers found that the kids who were exposed to cats or dogs in early infancy had a 13 to 16% lower risk of food allergies than those living in pet-free homes. The authors say the link is probably because pet exposure strengthens an infant's microbiome, the bacteria in the gut that are known to affect immune response. Jonathan Bernstein, president of the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, says it is critical that these exposures start early on, while the immune system is developing. Staying hydrated could help prevent chronic diseases. Researchers looked at health data from 11,255 adults in the U.S. over 25 years. As a proxy for hydration, they looked at the amount of sodium in the blood, which tends to rise when a person isn't taking in enough fluids. All participants were within the normal range for sodium, 135 to 146 millimoles per liter, but those with levels above 142 were more likely to age faster physiologically than those with lower levels, as well as more likely to develop chronic conditions such as heart failure, stroke, lung disease, and diabetes. Multivitamins could keep your brain sharp into old age. In one study, 3,500 older adults were asked to take either a placebo or Centrum Silver multivitamin every day for 3 years. Over that period, the participants took online tests to evaluate their cognitive skills. Those taking the multivitamin showed marked improvements in immediate recall of words, scoring on average like a person 3 years younger. That a simple multivitamin can slow cognitive decline while they are aging normally is quite exciting, says neurologist Andrew Budson, as it is something that almost everyone can do. And some of the things we were told to avoid. Space travel makes the brain swell. A study of 30 astronauts found that prolonged spells in microgravity conditions enlarge the brain's ventricles, cavities filled with cerebrospinal fluid that helps cushion the brain as well as deliver nutrients and dispose of waste. In an encouraging sign for future missions to Mars, there was no difference in the level of expansion between those in orbit for 6 months and those there for a year. But if the ventricles aren't given time to shrink to normal size between missions, says lead author Heather McGregor, this may impact the brain's ability to cope with fluid shifts in microgravity. Food dyes may be damaging your gut. Researchers injected chicken eggs with two kinds of food dye nanoparticles at levels that a human might typically consume. When the egg hatched, the chicks had cellular level changes in their blood and intestines, which suggests that the dyes could have a similar effect on human digestive systems. Colorants such as red 40, yellow 5, and yellow 6 are found in 90% of packaged foods. And previous research has shown that Americans typically consume up to 3 times more food coloring than is recommended. We don't really know the long-term effects of this consumption, said senior author Elad Teiko. Exercise makes you lazy. Researchers reviewed 24 studies looking at how people's habits change when they take up running or regularly going to the gym. 2/3 of the studies found that exercisers tended to reduce their non-exercise physical activity, such as walking the dog or taking the stairs, which meant they don't lose nearly as much weight as predicted. The total daily energy expenditure is less than expected, said lead author Julie Marvel Mansfeldt, and thus the weight loss will be less than expected. Cell phones may be contributing to declining sperm counts. A study of Swiss military recruits ages 18 to 22 found that those who used their mobile phones more than 20 times a day had a 21% higher risk of a low overall sperm count and a 30% increased risk for low sperm concentration compared with those who used them 5 or fewer times a day. The link held whether the men carry their phone in their pockets or their jackets. The good news was that sperm health and motility were not affected. It's the quality of sperm that counts, said urologist Alexander Patsutsak. Booze isn't beneficial even in moderation. For decades, studies suggested that having 1 or 2 drinks a day was actually better for overall health than not drinking at all. But a meta-analysis that looked at more than 100 studies involving nearly 5 million adults found that people who have fewer than 2 drinks a day do not have a lower risk of premature death than teetotalers. The authors say most of the earlier studies had fundamental flaws. Once researchers corrected for these errors, said co-author Tim Stockwell, lo and behold, the supposed health benefits of drinking shrank dramatically. And some of the big scientific breakthroughs of 2023. Massive ancient galaxies. Astronomers found a group of galaxies whose existence could upend cosmology. Dubbed universe breakers, the 6 large galaxies observed were fully formed just 500 million to 700 million years after the Big Bang. That's far too early for such complex star clusters to have arisen according to the scientists' current understanding of the early universe. And it suggests that the theory of galaxy formation, that they start out as clouds of gas and dust and coalesce into billions of stars over extremely long stretches of time, will have to be rethought. We had no idea what we were going to find, said study co-author Joel Leja. We found something so unexpected, it actually creates problems for science. Stem cell cure for diabetes. Three type 1 diabetes patients were freed of the need for daily insulin injections thanks to a groundbreaking new stem cell therapy. Most diabetics have to check their blood glucose level regularly and inject insulin whenever that level gets too high. For the clinical trial, scientists used stem cells from deceased donors to create healthy, insulin-producing cells. They then transplanted those beta cells into six diabetic patients. One participant, who had been injecting about 34 units of insulin a day for decades, didn't need a single shot during the 15 months of the study. Fifth force of nature. Scientists moved a step closer to identifying a fifth force of nature. The standard model identifies four forces: electromagnetism, the strong nuclear force that keeps atoms together, the weak nuclear force that allows atoms to decay, and gravity. To test the model, researchers shot muons, M-U-O-N-S, around a giant magnetic ring. The standard model should have been able to predict the particle's wobble, but the prediction was wrong. Scientists first saw the discrepancy in 2021, and confirmed it this year in an experiment with twice the precision. Physicist Gordon Yarnack says it could be the first smoking gun laboratory evidence of new physics. Robotic skin. In a breakthrough in robotics, researchers at Carnegie Mellon developed a soft material that moves like skin, can conduct electricity, and heals itself seamlessly. The organogel has the potential to be used in all manner of inventions, from self-repairing electronic circuits to wire-free medical monitors. The substance is made by combining polymers with microscopic drops of liquid metal and silver flakes. It is stretchy like living tissue, and when it is split in two, its molecular bonds can quickly be reformed just by pressing the edges together. And that is our health and science and scientific breakthrough summary. Poll Watch summary is titled, "The Way We Were in 2023. We fretted about political dysfunction and AI, but found refuge in our phones and Taylor Swift." How are we feeling? Divided and disconnected. Only 18% of us are satisfied with the state of the nation. 78% believe the U.S. is headed in the wrong direction. 23% think things have gotten so far off track that true patriots may have to resort to violence to set things right, including 33% of Republicans. 79% use a negative term when asked to sum up their feelings about politics, such as broken, polarized, disgusting, or dumpster fire. Nor is optimism high for the future. 70% think the economy is getting worse, even though 60% rate their own financial situation good or excellent. Just 36% believe the American dream holds true. Still, 67% say they're extremely or very proud to be an American. Whom do we blame for America's woes? The folks in Washington, D.C., 72% have an unfavorable view of Congress and 28% think poorly of both parties, more than quadruple the number in 1994. President Biden and his main GOP rival get low marks. 58% have an unfavorable opinion of Biden and 56% of Donald Trump. 77% say Biden at age 81 is too old to lead the nation. 56% say the same of the 77-year-old Donald Trump. While we rail at politicians, who's really calling the shots is up for debate. 41% say it's likely that a hidden cabal secretly controls the world. How has society changed? We're more tolerant of weed and we own more firearms. A record 70% want marijuana legalized, up 22 points since 2012. And 52% say they or someone in their household owns a gun, up 6 points since 2019. We're increasingly accepting of same-sex marriage. 71% believe it should be legal, up from 27% in 1996. 7.2% of Americans now identify as LGBT, double the number in 2012, including 20% of 18 to 25-year-olds. One change we're not happy about, constant requests for tips from service workers. 32% are frustrated with tipping screens, and 30% think tipping culture is out of control. How do we relax? By gawking at a screen. 57% admit to being addicted to their phones. 60% sleep with them. 75% use them on the toilet. And 47% feel panic if the battery level drops below one-fifth. We're not happy with this tech obsession. 67% wish to return to a time before society was plugged in. Perhaps more healthily, a lot of us shake off stresses by listening to Taylor Swift. 53% describe themselves as fans of the anti-hero singer, but only 7% would describe themselves as Swifties. About 25% of our most avid fans are baby boomers. What are we worried about? The threat of artificial intelligence. 38% of workers think the technology might make some or all their job duties obsolete. And 61% of Americans say AI poses a risk to humanity. Still, 35% would be open to developing a relationship with an AI bot if they were lonely. Global conflict haunts our dreams, with 53% afraid of Russia using nuclear weapons and 52% of the U.S. becoming involved in another world war. Some fears are more local. 40% are afraid to walk alone at night near home, the highest share since 1993. 29% have spent money prepping for a society-disrupting disaster over the past year, though many are optimistic about prevailing even in the worst times. 34% think that if the apocalypse hits, they can be the sole survivor. We don't always hit the feature called It Must Be True. I read it in the tabloids, but we'll just take a lightness break here and read the best of the tabloids in 2023. A Texas woman was attacked simultaneously by a hawk and a snake while mowing her lawn. Peggy Jones was on a riding mower when the snake fell on her, likely dropped by a passing hawk. As she tried to shake off the four-foot reptile, which had coiled around her arm, the hawk swooped down to retrieve its meal, stabbing Jones with its talons. After its fourth dive, the bird flew off with the snake. Covered in blood, Jones rushed to the ER and relayed her story to a doctor, who asked if she was on drugs. "It was a very bizarre, harrowing experience," she said. A Brazilian man faked his own death to see how many people would attend his funeral. Baltazar Lemos, a ceremonista who conducts funerals, hatched the plan after presiding over a service that drew only two mourners. The 60-year-old announced his death via social media. A week later, as friends and family members gathered in a small chapel, Lemos stepped out in front of the stunned mourners, whose confusion turned to anger when he explained his motive. Lemos said he had no intention of hurting, offending, or causing harm to anyone. A Japanese man spent 3 million yen, about $23,000, on a handmade costume in order to fulfill his life-held dream, his long-held dream, of becoming a wolf. The suit looked exactly like what I imagined, the unnamed man said. At the last of several fittings by a Japanese special effects company, I was amazed at my transformed self in the mirror, he said. It was a moment when my dream came true. Police descended on a yoga class in England after a passerby saw several participants lying on the floor in corpse pose, surrounded by candles, and reported a mass murder. They thought it was some sort of ritual mass killing, said Millie Laws, a yoga instructor in the coastal resort village Chapel St. Leonard's. She had candles lit and seven students on their backs in deep relaxation when two dog walkers peered through a window. Five police cars soon raced up, sirens wailing. Law said the massive response was surreal, but added, "You've got to see the lighter side." The art section of the year-end review has a number of lists, top five and top ten lists for different categories. I think what I've got time to do is read the description of the number one choices, and then I'll give you the other ones just by name and author or artist. So the review of books, Critics' Choice, this year's best novels. Number one is Biography of X by Catherine Lacey. X is a fictional character, but Catherine Lacey animates her so fully that I'm half convinced she might be alive out there somewhere, said Hillary Kelly in the Los Angeles Times. In a novel that burns hot and never fades, we get to know the recently deceased title character, a renowned novelist and performance artist, and perhaps a fraud, through the eyes of her widow, who is just as confused and curious as the reader about who her dead wife really is. X's life story unfolds in an alternate universe, United States, in which the South seceded in 1945, said Kinsey Bryant in Vanity Fair, and you might call its world dystopian if the fictional history didn't so nearly parallel this country's actual one. Lacey further blurs the line between fiction and reality by folding together true and invented details about artists who would have been X's contemporaries. The result had my mind working in a totally different way, like doing the crossword while taking in a beautiful story. That was the Biography of X by Catherine Lacey. Number two is The Heaven and Earth Grocery Store by James McBride. Three, Chain Gang All-Stars by Nana Kwame Adjei-Brenya. Number four, The Fraud by Zadie Smith. And the number five novel, Lone Women by Victor Lavelle. And the year's best nonfiction, number one choice is How to Say Babylon by Safiya Sinclair. Sophia Sinclair's brilliant debut memoir grabs the reader with the beauty of its words, said Carol B. Bell in the Washington Post. But the Jamaican-born poet also has a rich story to tell, and that story sticks because of the thorniness and complexity of its ideas. Sinclair grew up in a Rastafari household ruled over by a domineering musician father who sought to control how she and her siblings dressed and ate, even as they suffered discrimination for being members of Jamaica's tiny Rastafarian community. A love of poetry nurtured by her mother proved Sinclair's gateway to a U.S.-based life of her own making, said The Atlantic. But Sinclair does more than sketch out a straightforward story of domestic peril and escape. She also paints a complex portrait of Jamaica and Rastafarianism. Even when she looks beyond her own biography, every political or geopolitical detail adds to this vivid chronicle of her origin as an artist and a free woman. The number two nonfiction is The Best Minds by Jonathan Rosen. Number three, King by Jonathan Eig. It's a biography of Martin Luther King Jr. Number four is Monsters by Claire Dederer. And number five is The Wager by David Gran. Best albums of 2023. Number one is Olivia Rodrigo, Guts. Olivia Rodrigo is growing up before our eyes, said Rania Aniftos. That's A-N-I-F-T-O-S, in Billboard. The Grammy-winning pop ingenue, whose acclaimed debut captured the experience of teenage heartbreak, is now a 20-year-old woman, and she's pissed off about life, love, and how she's been treated, just as any young woman might be. The former Disney star's second album is even spikier than 2021's Sour, and it solidifies her status as Gen Z's premier storyteller because of the candor with which it addresses insecurities. Pretty Isn't Pretty, Social Awkwardness, Ballad of a Homeschooled Girl, Regrettable Hookups, Bad Idea, Right? A Manipulative Older Exes, Vampire, and Society's Sexist Double Standards, All American Bitch. And she weds all this messy emotion to melodramatic piano balladry and crunching alt-1990s style rock. Appealing to audiences young and old, her songs bridge binaries. Comedy and tragedy, likability and petulance, said Spencer Corr Haber in The Atlantic. Our society stays coherent with albums like this one, which offer a sense of rebellion that brings people together. Number two is Boy Genius, The Record. Number three is Wednesday by the group Rat Saw God. Number four is Sufjan Stevens by Javelin. And number five is SZA, not sure how to pronounce it, by group SOS. How about movies? The critic's choice for the top movie of the year is Past Lives. Once in a while, an understated stunner from a debut director grabs you by the heart and won't let you go, said Alyssa Wilkinson in the New York Times. In 2023, the film world welcomed a promising new talent in playwright Celine Song, who wrote and directed the semi-autobiographical romantic drama about two childhood friends from Korea who grow apart but reunite 24 years later for one fateful week. It's brilliant and moving, an examination of destiny, chance, love, and the invisible thread that binds one soul to the next. That's Past Lives. There's a list of 10 here. Number two is Killers of the Flower Moon. Three is The Zone of Interest. Four is May-December. Number five is Oppenheimer. Number 6, Barbie. 7, Poor Things. 8, Showing Up. 9, The Holdovers. And number 10, The Anatomy of a Fall. And the last list we'll look at is the Critics' Choice, the year's best TV. Number 1 is Succession. To name Succession the best show of the year is almost boring, said Jen Chaney in NYMag.com. But with bullseye accuracy, the final season of the already award-laden drama tapped into the spirit of 2023. A year when rich megalomaniacs at media companies rose up as cultural supervillains. The surprise early season death of patriarch and media mogul Logan Roy was a benchmark 2023 cultural event that also unleashed a final scramble among his grasping offspring for control of his empire. Nothing else on TV offered such a rich combination of Shakespearean drama and corporate buffoonery. Number 2 is The Bear. 3, Reservation Dogs. 4, Beef. 5, The Last of Us. 6, Poker Face. 7, I'm a Virgo. 8, Barry. Number 9, Jury Duty. And number 10, The Curse. Just about 5 minutes left. I guess I will run through list and maybe a few comments on what they call farewell among those who died in 2023. Harold Brown, one of the last surviving members of the Tuskegee Airmen, America's first black military pilots who flew dozens of missions in World War II and the Korean War, died January 12th, age 98. Pat Robertson, Baptist preacher and leader of a televangelism empire who created the political evangelical movement with his Christian coalition. Pat Schroeder, 12-term congresswoman and witty warrior for women's rights, who engineered laws barring pregnancy discrimination and allowing family leave. Rosalynn Carter, politically astute First Lady who served as a key policy advisor to her husband, President Jimmy Carter, and devoted decades to humanitarian work. Henry Kissinger and Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman to serve on the Supreme Court, started out conservative and became a powerful centrist swing vote. From the stage and screen, Arthur Duncan, tap dancer extraordinaire and regular on the Lawrence Welk Show, who was one of the first black performers on television. Raquel Welch, sex symbol who donned a doeskin bikini for the 1966 film 1 Million Years B.C. and later won acclaim in Broadway musicals. Alan Arkin, Oscar-winning comedic actor and director who starred on Broadway and in over 100 films and TV shows, and won accolades to the end with The Kominsky Method. Bob Barker, affable game show host of Truth or Consequences and The Price is Right, who reminded us to spay and neuter our pets. Suzanne Summers, ditzy heart of the 1970s sitcom Three's Company, who later became an exercise guru as the face of Thighmaster. Norman Lear, screenwriter and producer behind the iconic sitcoms of the 1970s, such as The Jeffersons and All in the Family. Matthew Perry, Canadian actor who delivered snappy one-liners as a neurotic Chandler on Friends. Music in the arts. Jeff Beck of blues rock bands The Yardbirds and The Jeff Beck Group, whose mastery of harmony, pitch, and melody made him one of the greatest guitarists of all time. Burt Bacharach, pop producer and composer who penned over 70 hits for the Great American Songbook, including I Say a Little Prayer, Walk On By, and The Look of Love. Harry Belafonte, honey-voiced calypso king and noted civil rights activist, who was the first black performer to win an Emmy. Tina Turner, 8-time Grammy winner who dominated R&B and pop for 5 decades. Tony Bennett, ebullient singer whose jazzy phrasing of American pop standards charmed audiences for more than 7 decades. Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville performer who parlayed his laid-back vibe into a string of casinos, hotels, and restaurants. Cormac McCarthy, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of Bleakness, who wrote No Country for Old Men, All the Pretty Horses, and The Road. And just a few others, Jim Brown, football player, Bobby Knight, basketball coach. And we will move out of that and finish up with a quote from Leonard Cohen, quoted in Jewish Journal, who says, "There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." Happy New Year to you. With that, we have run out of time for today's episode of the week. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to listen again next time. This is Fred Woodward for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The week is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. For more information or if you have comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.